Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios, powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Big issues, big guests. Remember the story of Mark Halk and his family. Nothing more riveting than what happened there. And with what we saw, the invasion of this church by Don Lemon, but more by this group of radicals, all who have been named, thought it was a good time to catch up with Mark because he was a victim of the just ferocious overkill of this act. It's all about saying, essentially, you can't protest at an abortion clinic in any way, shape, or form. That's how I read it. So wouldn't you think people who wrote this act, that side, you'd be equally disturbed about interfering with worship? I mean, after all, it's constitutional. Let's go to Mark Cal on the Dom Giordano Show. Hey, Mark, welcome back. Good to talk with you today.
Great to be with you, Dom, again. Yeah, happy to be on the program and once again talk about the FACE Act.
Yeah, exactly. So for listeners who don't remember, you had this minor difference with a guy essentially there on the front lines. I forget what these guys are called that bring women in. Your son was there with you, and nothing happened. Even Larry Krasner, I'm shocked at that still to this day, Mark, didn't want to do anything. And yet the full force of the federal and somewhat the state government one Sunday morning came to your house.
Yeah, it was a nothing burger. It was a non-issue in the city of Philadelphia. Everything was dismissed in state court there. And then ultimately the government picked it up because they saw the writing on the wall with the Dobbs decision. And then that you saw their agenda weaponizing the DOJ coming after pro-lifers after Roe's overturned. So using the FACE Act as their main tool to indict people.
I believe there are some others. You at least had outstanding legal help in a great case. And also the overkill of this, I think, played in the mind, certainly. On a Sunday morning, your seven kids there. I went back and listened to your interview on that. But some people have been sentenced to pretty severe sentences for actions around abortion clinics. And I'm not talking about violence or anything.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, first of all, these are pro-life people. They're peaceful people. And they're demonstrating civil disobedience. And obviously, they're willing to go into abortuaries and sit and talk to women that are abortion-minded, abortion-determined, and give them information. And they're being charged. So obviously, they really aren't doing anything wrong other than the ones that may be blocking the doors at some places. But yeah, very peaceful, very prayerful, usually singing hymns. They're not trying to, disturb people's peace overall. But obviously, it was used against them. And they did face severe fines and time in prison. And some were put in prison, like Joan Andrews locally here, Paul Vaughn from Tennessee. They put me up for 11 years on false charges. But I was acquitted. Only one.
Yeah, we'll get to your continuing lawsuit, too. So, Mark, someone who's been through it is different than I guess. And I want severe punishment for this. I don't know about 11 years for what they did. But I think jail time is necessary for so many reasons of what was done here, how egregious this was. And also the very people that are prosecuting on the front end of this, as a compromise, they had to put in you can't attack religious ceremonies just to get the votes. So when you watch this, what do you think ought to be done if convicted?
Right. Well, I mean, there's great confusion with the right to freedom of speech and, of course, the right to religious worship, you know, religious liberty. So you know, to come into a sanctuary, and we call it sanctuary for that reason in our churches, because it's inviolate. You cannot invade that sacred space. And so if you're going to protest, you protest outside the building. You don't go into the building. So, you know, just like they did with the J6ers, you know, they took their faces on video and they indicted these people. Well, they should do the same thing with these people. They should indict them. I don't think they need a raid on their home. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. If they're going to cooperate, we said to the feds, we would come in peacefully mm-hmm. if you wanted to indict us. If they're going to say that, then great, bring them in peacefully. Obviously, a warrant needs to be served if that's the case, if they're not doing that. But no one needs to have a heavy raid on their home like I did. That was ridiculous. But I was facing 11 years in prison for one act of against the FACE Act. It'll give you 1 year in prison. So if it's your first felony charge, you would get 1 year in prison. If it's your second felony charge, then you can get up to 10 years in prison.
Wow. Yeah. So take us through a little bit. And wanted to ask you, I know you and your wife are on it with the seven kids, counseling, et cetera. How long has it been since that raid, and how has that worked out?
Right. Well, it was 3 years next week since the trial,
okay.
Since the acquittal, and then from the raid, September 23rd, 2022. So we just went past 3 years, 3.5 years, and we're still unpacking it. I mean, it's pretty profound on a spiritual level alone, but when you're dealing with children and PTSD, you know, you never know how these things are going to manifest themselves when it comes to triggers with their trauma. And sometimes that's just with sirens, right? For me alone, it's with sirens. I get heart palpitations. So, you know, you never know how the kids are going to respond. They've been resilient up to this point. You know, they're obviously, you know, evaluated by us as parents, and we continue to monitor that. And if they need help, that we give them the help that they need, psychotherapy or therapy wise. Right. But yeah, right now the kids are doing well and thriving. So praise the Lord for that.
Well, absolutely. Because again, no need to do this, as you said, and no need to do it at around 7 a.m. and no need to have people with heavy, heavy duty weapons and apparently pointed toward the kids. And I think I went back and listened to an interview, and they said you were trying to evangelize the agents on the way to jail. Is that true?
Well, sure. We had an hour drive from Kittnersville, Buck County, and, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you in season and out of season, you know, you talk about God, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I do. So it was a perfect opportunity.
And you seem to say, too, these guys are following orders. I mean, it's the system that goes on here to engage in this.
No, that's what the Nazis said, right? You know, we're just following orders. But they got to be accountable, right? You know, everybody had a choice the day of my raid. Everyone had a choice to be there. And some of those, and we tell our kids, you know, some of those agents and troopers and cops, they made a bad choice that day. Mm-hmm. We also have met over the last 3 years people that were invited to that raid, state troopers who said, hey, I'm not going to do that. So they had the free will to decide, like, and they saw the writing on the wall that this was not necessary. So, and, you know, some guys made a bad decision that day.
So the lawsuit, Mark, for listeners coming out of this, what's the thrust of your lawsuit?
Right. Well, we were, you know, unjust prosecution there. You know, we have a lawsuit that was put forward. And essentially it was ruled in the Third Circuit that the government had every right to do what they did, that the Third Circuit judge, you know, an activist judge in Philadelphia said, no, they have every right to do that. So sadly, that was the ruling after about a year of litigating that. But ultimately, we appealed it. So thankfully, with a friendly Trump administration in office, they weren't willing to let it go to an appeal, because we would have lost anyway. You need 2 out of 3 judges to disagree with that judge, and that's not going to happen. So thankfully, the Trump administration is working with us to come to a financial settlement. because they recognized that it was egregious and should never have happened.
Was it Beadlestone? Was that the judge in Philadelphia you're referencing?
It was Judge Diamond. Judge that in the federal, and he's at the end of his time. I mean, he's in his 70s. He's been on the bench a long time, but he was the one that ruled.
Okay. Well, Mark, do we follow you on Twitter, and are you still out there at abortion clinics, or how's your practice now? How is your evangelizing? Where do you do that?
Sure. I'm there every Wednesday at 12th and Locust. I'll be there tomorrow. So, yeah, we continue. The kingsmen.org is my ministry, and we continue to do what we do. And, you know, it doesn't change. You know, once I was acquitted, I was out there the following week. So, it is what we're called to do, and we just continue to follow that call. And people can go onto my website if they want to learn more.
Absolutely. And, Mark, no politics at this point?
Always open to that call if necessary. Right now, nothing at this point. But we're not running for Congress again. Unless I get struck by lightning. So.
Well, you don't know how I've enjoyed this, and it seems to be coming to a somewhat happy ending. And it's amazing that the FACE Act, of all things, which is egregious on the front end, may be so direct that something's going to be done here with what was done in this church thing. As I remember, that was the compromise. All right, we want to get this over the hill. We can't do it just on abortion clinics. People are not going to say you're getting put in jail forever on that. So we'll throw in the religious part. Well, here we are.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, it's basic civics here. You know, we got to keep our freedom of speech outside the building. And it was a throw in. It was a compromise for the conservatives with Ted Kennedy. Right. OK, let's get the churches and places of worship included in this. And now we're trying to repeal that with Chip Roy and all, but I tell you, at this point, it should be applied across the board, and it should be used against these anti-ICE protesters in Minnesota. It should certainly be used. That's what it was designed for. So while not applied initially that way, here we are.
And Mark, are you, because, again, you are a peaceful guy, but you're not a guy to fool around with, I believe, just knowing you a little bit. I'm amazed, and maybe it's just this church, where I grew up, South Philly, King of Peace, the Holy Name guys. I don't think you're coming into the church and terrorizing kids like that.
Yeah, look. There's been a lot of security detail over the last couple of years with churches and stuff, and there's a lot of security detail, and I'm not at liberty to say who's on those details or not, but they're in place to prevent people from coming in and doing harm. And you remember the shootings in Texas, and that's where that all began. So we do have a lot of that in place. Certain churches do. And so if they came into my church, they're going to have to deal with that detail that is there to protect the people.
Good to hear it. Mark, thank you very much. Anytime, we want to hear from you. Thank you for joining us.
All right, Dom. Anytime. God bless.
I thank you, Mark. And I admire him, Henry, because we've had go-arounds when he was running for office. And I just said, look, Brian Fitzpatrick, oh, my God, how many endpoints do we have? But I told him, and I stick by this, he is a man of conviction, and he is definitively pro-life up and down the line. And his stance, we talked about it. And I admire him. He can't compromise on it. You can't be elected in Pennsylvania. You're not going to be elected. You have no shot. So do we lose the seat? And I admire him as a person on that and the work that he does. But that doesn't mean you should be the nominee. How do we always come back to Brian Fitzpatrick? It never ends. Then Jackie Heinrich is on the scene. It's just endless. How's that going, getting Brian back on the show, Henry?
I haven't followed up in a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mike, say we have Mark Halko on today. What the heck? We thought you might come on. All right. 855. He gave an interview to Philadelphia Magazine in which he went after Trump and lacking moral clarity. I didn't mention it until now, but I'll mention it. I get in on the side question. You heard Mark Halko. And the clock is ticking. I would say by the end of this week, there ought to be enough evidence to indict at least the major figures here. I'm not talking about Don Lemon. I think he's indictable, too. I'm talking about this farmer radical who leads this and the woman on Facebook who put all the names of the people that were there and what they were going to do. They clearly are violating the FACE Act. And you heard Mark lay it out. It was a compromise, Bill Clinton. We're going to put that in. Really, we want to nail people, bothering people at abortion clinics or protesting. So what are we going to do? All right, we'll put in the churches. That'll never happen. So we'll put it in. That's a compromise. Well, here we are. And I have faith until proven otherwise in Harmeen Dillon, but Pam Bondi, there's a lot of difficulty here. And again, when you have all the names, let's get a few up on the board. Let's show people that we're actually doing it. I don't know if there's 15 or 20 here, but they're all listed. We have the video.
I've got the Facebook post posted right now on YouTube.
Yeah, you can go check it out on YouTube. And the other thing is, I think they're doing a good job of posting it. Where do these people work? One woman is a school board member in St. Paul. What do they have to say about this? Again, how many times have we been? I've been through this personally. I've been through the civil affairs people in Philadelphia. I'm pro-cop up and down the line. But you know what? When the police are out of line, I'm not just going, oh, it's a cop. Civil affairs, we're over at the Art Museum. It's our private event. Talk Radio 1210 listeners. I have the sitting governor, Corbett, on the stage. And these women, Henry, start taking banners out of their bras. Interesting. They're lifting up their shirts and they're taking all kinds of banners out that they smuggled in.
Yeah.
So I go to the civil affairs guy. You know, you got to stop this. I got a sitting governor. We're going to continue this thing. He goes, it's freedom of speech. The guy heading up the cops, civil affairs. I'm going to give each one of them a minute. There's like 80 of them. Are you kidding me? And the governor's security detail was getting kind of edgy because some were moving toward the stage. I see the hand where the gun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's all red in the face. You know, it was. And I may have said, no, you're not going to give him a minute over the loudspeaker. That was like an eruption.
Oh,
I was afraid of, you know, arrest was coming here. Yes. On this whole thing. You're going to give each one of them a minute. This is the nonsense that we get into, where people think they have a right to shut you down. They don't want to protest. They want to shut you down. And that's what they were doing in this church. And they were going to continue to harass these people as they came out. We have all kinds of cuts of them saying, well, here's the chief law enforcement guy. This is Ellison, Henry. And this is cut Keith Ellison, kind of an infamous figure. Yeah, this is cut 13. Listen to what he said about the anti-ICE protesters storming that church. Cut 13.
The protest is fundamental to American society. This country started in a protest. And, you know, it's freedom of expression. People have a right to lift up their voices and make their peace. And none of us are immune from the voice of the public. So I, quite honestly, I think that you got the First Amendment, freedom of religion, and the freedom of First Amendment, freedom of expression. And I think that, you know, it's just, I think it's just something that you got to live with in a society.
Yeah, buddy. With all of your arm guards and all your stuff, when you want to be out there speaking and doing whatever, if we want to use amplified material, we want to shut you down, we want to start screaming at you by the hundreds. You're insane. You're an ideologue. And worse, a hater. And again, how do all roads lead to this crazy state? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T, I'm still all throughout that interview with Hal, playing you Scott Jennings, when the guy last night in CNN told him, you can't say illegal immigrants anymore. And Jennings kept on saying, yo, brother, how are you going to stop me from saying that?
Word police over here.
Yeah, the word police. I thought there was an incident there. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get it.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, On Demand. On Demand.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. Killing me on Twitter. Certain rules during the show, Henry. I think you were here. I told Dan. Can't play the Tarantella. And you can't do Neil Diamond, Coming to America. I go off too much. And one of my three favorite scenes in any movie, anytime, coming off what we're talking about with the church, Chaz Palminteri, Sonny, now you just can't leave.
Oh, yeah, locking the door, yet.
If you've never seen The Bronx Tale, there's some 10 good scenes in there. But the scene of scenes is when the Hell's Angels come into his bar and they're going to bust it up. And he goes, can you, you know, now you just can't leave.
Yeah, the complete vibe change, look on their faces.
And, yeah, and I'm looking, I don't know how many takes he did, but he projects the calmness of it the way he says it. It's just completely calm. It's like we're splitting atoms here, and he's in a class. Now you just can't leave. And they somehow or another into it. Oh, man, think of the neighborhood we're in. Think about what we're up against here. It's a pretty big home court advantage. And then the neighbors come out when they get him outside the bar. Oh, God. Don't do that during the show. Okay, side question today. Coming off this notion that this knuckleballer died, how he changed from a pitcher to a knuckleballer. Always intrigued by these guys. Not enough knuckleballers. You want your kid to make the major leagues? Have them become a catcher. Now, that's changed a bit. It's harder now. You know, baseball is the route. You have to be good, but you don't have to be big like you do, well, basketball, obviously.
Yeah.
Or football, obviously.
Got to have the stuff.
Yeah. But, by the way, I didn't see the whole game last night, but I am so happy. I don't know that I would say it was convicts versus Catholics versus convicts, but pretty close. The Miami loss, they throw a punch at one guy after the game.
I want to know what went down, because he was shaking hands with other Indiana players,
right.
And then it must have been something the Indiana players said.
Well, still a bad look. And the quarterback, his role model must be Tom Brady, didn't shake hands. I've been on the record,
you know,
with younger kids, after a hard loss, making them line up and shake hands. It's very emotional. But with adults, and these guys are adults, yeah, you got to shake the hand a little bit. Some coaches are able to do it better than others, you know, and run off the field with it.
Oh, last night, it was just a quick, like, yeah, good game.
So. I know. Yeah, exactly. But I'm looking at a story of the dad of the quarterback. The mom has MS, and the dad does not stand up at all during the game. He sits, it looks like a seat attached to her wheelchair. What a family. What a story. And just, you know, it's almost unreality to see this. And I just think Miami, in my mind at least, until proven otherwise, is always going to have that reputation. It's not as bad back in the days that they actually had criminal charges hanging over and guys shot and everything else. But they still kind of play to that a bit. All right, so 855-839-1210. I think they'll have more first-round draft picks, too. And draft picks in Indiana.
That D-line last night completely threw off Indiana.
Yeah,
they're going top 10.
Yeah. So, you know, the NFL doesn't care. They'll say, well, we can manage this somehow or another. Robert and Ben Salem's next. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dom, Henry. Good to talk to you guys today.
Same here.
I hope all is well.
Yep.
I mentioned something. Just a minute. When I was younger and I was growing up in a children's home, we would receive like Christmas gifts and things from strangers that we had never met. And I was always like really moved by that. And I realized that if you didn't know the person, you couldn't pay him back, but you could pay it forward. Okay. So that's one of the reasons I joined the Alumni Association, so I could do things like that. Now, I wound up in a spot because of this injury where I was a little bit short on getting to where I needed to be to continue moving forward. And I received a get-well card with some cash in it two nights ago from Leslie from Brimar. And since she does not want it back because it was a gift, I just wanted to thank her on the air and let her know, since I can't pay it back, I'm going to pay it forward. And that's the way it should be. And I just wanted to express my appreciation for her and your audience because there was so much support there. And well, I'll leave it there. I don't.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is your calls, you probably sense this when you talk about your upbringing, et cetera, and you know the lens that you see things through, they move me every time. Maybe not in the moment because we have a show to do, but I'm talking about
absolutely
driving along, thinking about it. And I mean what I said about the, you know, the Tarantella, the Coming to America, and that scene, it's the South Philly thing, now you just can't leave. But your stories are of that genre. And Leslie is that you have to see her on a trip immediately. The trip we were on, she directed, not the tour guide, getting out of New York City. It was amazing.
She's a facilitator, and she's got a huge heart, and she's irreverent and funny and smart. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
So amazing. But my answer to the side question today is going to be Walt Disney. And the reason for that is he was a newspaper editor for the Kansas City Star back in 1920, and his chief editor fired him. And the reason for that was, and I quote, Dom, he lacked imagination and had no good ideas, okay? So he goes out of that company, and he's noodling around with a graphics company trying to make money doing advertisements for businesses. But that didn't work out either, and he declared bankruptcy in 1923. Him and his brother Roy, I didn't even know he had a brother, moved out to California and set up shop in his uncle's garage with $250 in working capital. 2.5 years later, Steamboat Willie came out in 1928, and Mickey Mouse was born. And he went on to become the most famous, admired, loved animator in the world. And all I can say today is I'm sure that great man is rolling over in his grave right now. But that was my answer, Walt Disney. Thank you for the time, Don.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you very much. Thanks for that story, too. Hey, watching during that break, one thing I wanted to mention about this church in Minnesota. I don't know. It looks more like a hotel lobby to me, like a conference at a hotel lobby. And the reason is, where are the kneelers? To have a church, the Catholics, you can't have a church without kneelers. You got to do all that kneeling.
But was that a Catholic church?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, and I've been in Protestant churches, and I seem to remember they have kneelers. So do you have to kneel on the ground? Wow, that's even worse.
Yeah, maybe there's no kneeling at all.
Well, that was going to be my next thing. You know, in that faith, it's Baptist, I think. Don't you kneel? I would think you kneel. But it looks like the chairs are all set out, nice-looking chairs. And it looks like, you know, like you were doing a speech in a hotel. Or I got one coming up with Diane Cardano. How's that for product placement, Diane? Coming up on January 31st. And there sometimes there's tables, but sometimes chair, you know, it's a hotel with that setup. Yeah. I don't see any kneelers. Somebody's got to tell me, where are the kneelers?
I mean, I'll take the chairs over the, you know, the wooden pews any day of the week, though.
I don't have they can get pretty hard. You get for an hour and that, but it's the kneeler too. And the kneelers are a little bit too close. You have to lean in to not be uncomfortable. They ought to be. Give you a little bit more space back.
Oh, my gosh. I was at a wedding a few months ago, and there was no back, or like the back was too close underneath the pew.
Right.
So I was literally scrunched into the pew, like almost leaning over. It was, my back was hurting so bad because of it.
I don't know if it's a Catholic thing or not, Henry. I'm trying to think of Protestant church, somebody in a Baptist church. You have kneelers, you know, and are all those churches, are the doors red, you know, to keep away the devil, the whole thing and all. Yeah. Is that a Catholic church? Nope, no red doors.
Yeah. Keep them moving.
Yeah. 855-839-1210. And don't put up that post anymore during your show of Sonny. Now it's the yous, too. Now you just can't leave. Oh, God. I have to go home and see it right now. Yeah. You're going to tell me The Bronx Tale is not a great movie now. I know Goodfellas is not. It's not?
No, Goodfellas or not Goodfellas.
All right, which movie's better? Movie. I would say Bronx Tales is better than Goodfellas.
Can I make a confession?
Yes.
I've never seen A Bronx Tale.
Oh, okay.
I know that scene because it's a very famous scene.
Yes.
But the car door thing. But yes. Yeah, never seen the movie.
Oh, you mean the I was going to reference that as my rule of life. If she doesn't reach over and pull up that lock,
right,
dump her right there.
Mm-hmm.
True. You can't do that test anymore with automatic stuff, see? It's lost. The test would be good.
True.
You could
hit the button. You'd hear that from the outside.
Well,
right?
True. That's right. At least hit the button. If you don't reach over and pull that lock up, that's it, honey. 855-839-1210. I need an answer to the Neor thing, though. There's got to be an answer here somewhere to the Neors. That, and we have a side question going on. A little bit later, we'll talk with Jeff Van Drew. I want to know from him, is the SAVE Act actually going to happen this week? The photo ID and all that. You heard Scott Presler yesterday, and then Presler nationally said he will not support any Republican ever that votes against this. Will they? Why would they? I mean, this is what America wants. It's common sense. At least pass it politically, and then we'll work on the senators. What's the objection? Well, you know, not everybody can afford to have, oh, wait a minute. We'll do it for free. We've been down this road. All right, 855-839-1210, you get a line. Are you tired of feeling worn out halfway through your workout or exhausted before the day even begins? Well, if staying active matters to you, fuel your body with Rescue Orosin. Most people don't realize your body runs on ATP, the natural energy that powers every muscle, every heartbeat, every step. But as we age, ATP production slows down, taking stamina and endurance with it. That's where Rescue Orosin comes in. This cutting-edge formula with research-backed ingredients supports ATP production at the cellular level, so you can keep moving, keep your heart pumping, and keep doing what you love every day without jitters or crashes. Just use the code MYENERGY to buy one, get one free today at res-q.com or call a rescue product consultant, 800-26-ALIVE. Don't miss out, 800-262-5483, online, res-q.com. Get that second bottle of Rescue Orosin for free. Remember, use that code MYENERGY at checkout.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
It is Dom time. I have one of my favorite subjects, the sign of the apocalypse. I remember when we did that as a side question. I have three in my back pocket all ready to go the next couple of days. One Henry hat. This is always a fun thing. And the winner, the first time we did it, was Richard of Somerdale with "You Can Pump Your Own Gas in Jersey." Get out of Dodge. The apocalypse is here. Here's another one. Phil Murphy, apparently it might be the final act, signed into law in New Jersey, a new state law that mandates cursive instruction in grades 3 to 5 beginning this fall. The return to including cursive instruction is especially meaningful as New Jersey celebrates the upcoming 250th anniversary, giving our students the skills they need to read our nation's founding documents and complete tasks like opening a bank account or signing a check, in addition to offering cognitive benefits, said Governor Murphy. Public schools must now teach students how to write cursive legibly and become fluent in reading it. The requirements take effect immediately. Wow. Jersey right. Doing.
I saw that, and he's making like motorized like cyclists.
Yes.
He's making them get licenses.
Yes, so which is a good thing.
Yeah, not letting the door hit him on the way out completely.
Yeah, all right. Exactly. So, Governor Murphy, what the heck happened here? But cursive, how did these legislators pass that? They're the enemy of stuff like this. You can't do that. Somebody can't do it. Now, they did mention legibly. And I have to admit, that might be a problem for me. But, you know.
Yeah, legibly.
Legibly, yes. Legibly. And I'm in a house with Roe, who has beautiful handwriting, and Luke has this tiny handwriting, but looks like it's on a sculpture or something. DJ writes on a paper plate, bang. And
so he gets that from you, yeah.
Exactly. Ro gives it to Luke. Yeah, it's the contrast. You would not believe that we could coexist just based on this.
Yeah.
A couple things. All right, the consensus says that more religious people do not kneel, apparently, although, was it Tsar of Trent? Hasan bin Sober says on Twitter, yeah, Lutherans, we kneel. Well, these people are Baptists. And I just thought kneeling is a rigorous thing. I thought the more, one of a better term, fundamental religions like Baptists, I thought they'd be kneelers. That's why I'm kind of surprised. The chairs look like the setup was not a conventional church. They were not pews, first of all. Yeah, I don't know why. I was kind of, it looked like a hotel and somebody's going to come and give a speech or something. Yeah. A ballroom. Yeah. So what's up with that? And it's in, well, it's in Minnesota. They're kind of liberal, but Baptist. And I did notice that the preacher had a headset with a wireless mic, which was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I feel like that's at my church, too. I feel like.
Okay.
At least sometimes.
Yeah, but you have kneelers, right?
Yeah, the kneelers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How are the kneelers? Are they good kneelers?
I think all kneelers are bad kneelers, even if they are cushy and whatever you try, they're still a mess.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. So the punishment at St. John Newman, if you had some of these teachers that were really bad, might be a holiday coming up, you all at all times had to have at least two books in your book bag. Some of these kids weren't going to do anything over the holiday, so they might not have anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you were caught, I think it was two, it might have been three, under that, kneel on these special tiles that cut through your knees for an hour.
Oh.
At 6 a.m. Can you imagine? Today, they'd be put in jail.
Where did they get these tiles? Like,
can
we have two torture tiles over
there? Yeah, there
were
torture tiles there. Yes.
For the kids?
Just like that.
I mean, I know the nuns were rough, but like, geez.
After all, freshman year, we were eating lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning drinking grape sodas. And guys with peppers and eggs bags with the oil coming through them. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a different environment. But yeah, there were tiles. I'm not saying they created them for this, but they happened to be there.
Yeah, they wore over time. And they're like, oh, you know what? We can use this as a punishment instead of the rulers.
Right. And they didn't have to do much, Henry. If you witnessed what I did, there was this priest who, I think it was Father Cox did this. He would just stand and imagine these are South Philly kids, like 500 of them or 800 of them in lunch. They don't want to be quiet. He's making an announcement. Gentlemen, cut it now. And he would say it like, now you just can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Some kid still talking in front of him. He slapped him from one end of the cafeteria to the other. I'm talking hard slaps.
Jeez.
It's like almost a football field of it. Yeah. And then he put him in detention.
Gosh.
Yeah, or the hospital. I don't know which one.
Is this high school or grade school?
High school. Wow. High school.
Man.
Gentlemen, cut it now. And the kid didn't get it when that guy says that.
Yeah, he must have just transferred in.
I think he must have thought, he's saying it low. He's not screaming at gentlemen, cut it now. Yeah. David in Lexington, South Carolina, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, David, welcome in.
Hey, Dom. You know, I'm part of what's called Global Methodist, and we – in fact, it'll be 2 years, a week from tomorrow, when we broke away from United Methodist because you know what's going on with United Methodist. So our church is 2 years old. It's one of those kind of modern, like we're renting a space right now. So we just have regular chairs. And even at the UMC, we didn't have kneelers or anything like that.
Wait a minute. What's with this religion where you're not kneeling? I don't get it, David.
Now, we would kneel at the altar. And I actually did attend Baptist church for a while. In fact, the Baptist church I attended was the one where the papers for secession were drawn up when South Carolina decided to secede from the Union. But then we would kneel at the altar, but not at your seat and everything. So
it seems to me the Baptists more than the Catholics like standing up and holding the hands in prayer to the heavens more than that and celebrating. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's not any kneeling. They're celebrating.
Go up.
That's what we're doing. There you
go. Exactly. Do you have holy water?
No.
I love the way you said that.
But I'll tell you a quick little note too. I attend the church when I come up to Pennsylvania every summer. I attend the Lutheran church that my grandparents attended when they were little and everything. And it threw me for a loop when I went to communion one Sunday, and it was actually real wine. I was not used to that.
Hey, I was an older boy. Yeah, the wine wasn't exactly, it may have been one of those knockoff wines, you know, the Medavi or whatever they are, wines they were using, you know?
Yeah. Well, for my answer, I'm going to go with Dickie V. He was a coach and became a play-by-play, but nobody elevated basketball or college basketball more than he did. I mean, he's synonymous with it right now. And people, in fact, so much so, people don't realize he was a coach. But he totally took on a different career.
Yeah, he was one of the first commentators that really got public knowledge. That's a good one, David. So we're looking today for somebody who made a really different turn in a career, a pivot from one thing to another. I gave Reagan, no one, when you heard, I think they did it even Back to the Future. There was a line in there about Ronald Reagan's president.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with that? Yeah, you just cannot believe it. And it was because not just he was a movie actor, it was some of the dumb films that he was in. And then when you saw how heavy duty he was, though, on policy, it wasn't just that he was a president. I mean, he was into the real conservative end of policy. And he actually was on TV for Westinghouse and places like that. So, yeah, it became a little bit more natural. All right, so we're looking for somebody who made that turn because this knuckleballer passed away yesterday who did very well and transitioned from fairly hard thrower, I guess, to a knuckleballer. Eighth, that's where side questions come from. Wait until you hear the next couple. At least one I got for Thursday. Tomorrow's yours, Henry. But, are the Eagles really interviewing Jim Bob Cooter to be their offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
They are. Where's he from?
He's been in Indianapolis with Steichen.
Oh, has he? Oh, okay. I thought he was from, like, Tennessee. Or he's got to be originally,
I'm
right?
Sure, yeah. He's sure he's from down south.
Yeah, so, right. So, I mean, I got to do all-time, you know, that's a good old boy of good old boys. We might broaden it out to something southern or just who's the ultimate good old boy.
It's from Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Fayetteville. What's the line in the movie, "You always were a good old boy"? Is it Colhan Luke? They say that in one of them uses that line. It just strikes me with a name like Jim Bob Cooter. I don't see this guy showing up in a suit and, you know, acting, you know. How would that play in Philadelphia? Interesting.
If you can call plays, it doesn't matter.
Right,
no,
that's
no
all,
one's going to care.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. After that, you know, following Kevin Pitullo cannot be that hard, really. If you have a modicum of success, you got to think it's going to be easy.
He was in Philadelphia, too, before.
Oh, was he?
Under Sirianni. He followed Steichen, too. Indianapolis.
Jim Bob Cooter. It's like, you can't imagine this guy's name, this. Offensive coordinator. Can you imagine the interviews here in Philadelphia with these guys? I hope he gets it just for fodder. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming to your calls. Does your church have Niors? If not, why don't you get some? I'm telling you, you know, it's something you might
want to stay away.
Do. All right. I need to hear from a priest out there. What do you think of the Neuers? 855-839-1210.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right. Jeff and Drew in the On Deck Circle. It's 1 year of President Trump Part 2. What is the biggest achievement? I'll ask him. I know the thing he has to work on the most, the reluctant Trump voter. But our buddy, Henry, and I guess he's busy today, this guy's the master. He's my big find in 2025. And that's Mike of the New Jersey Project, Wake Up New Jersey. They put out New Jersey Project put this out. And I'll give it to you in detail after Jeff Van Drew. When they talk about affordable housing in New Jersey, it's a scheme to pave over farms, pack in high-density housing, and drive up profit for their buddies, the developers. 47 urban municipalities, which account for 50% of New Jersey's population growth, are exempt from this, the urban aid exemption, unbalanced mandates. Yeah, we're going to pave over Cranford, New Jersey, the family farm. We're going to disrupt places like Medford, who voted for Mikey Sherrill. Are people not aware of what they're going to do to you under Mikey Sherrill versus Jack Chattarelli? Apparently not. You hate Trump. That's enough. All right, we'll get into that, Jeff Andrew, Dom's Money Melody. And I'll kind of tell you about a very special guest promise for tomorrow. Not the name, but why this one's so important. Big 2 o'clock hour on Talk Radio 1210.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.